A man is dead after being shot in a recreation center parking lot here in Durham. I'm live at the scene with what we know so far.
NC Central Police are investigating a rape in a residence hall. We're speaking with students about whether they feel safe here on campus.
Small businesses are struggling with an increase in violent crime in certain parts of downtown Raleigh. What they're doing to balance those safety concerns while keeping their customers happy.
I'll show you what's keeping us socked in clouds and keeping temperatures cool. See when the pattern changes to brighter and warmer.
NC Central Police are investigating a rape in an on-campus dorm. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So the university says there is a suspect, but they will not say if they've made an arrest or if the person is a student. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with a local nonprofit that serves survivors of sexual assault about the help they can offer.
NC Central Police say this rape happened inside the Benjamin Ruffin Residence Hall. The experts I spoke with say this time of year between August and fall break is called the red zone, when the most sexual assaults occur on college campuses.
NC Central students are on edge after a report of a rape in the restroom of a dorm. Some woke up to the university notification.
There's a lot of peers on campus who are also maybe victims, and that could have also been very triggering to them to wake up to that this morning and see that come across their phone.
Dacia Holmes is concerned about the assault so close to home.
We're supposed to be safe in our dorms and stuff like that, and the fact that something like that happened inside of where we're supposed to be safe at, it was heartbreaking to see that.
She tells me she avoids walking alone if possible, and others suggest having campus police on speed dial.
I'll definitely say to be vigilant and be smart and wise and just know your surroundings, be sure.
A check of NC Central Police's daily crime report and log, which is updated within 2 business days, shows another sexual battery happened inside the same residence hall early Saturday morning.
We don't want to hear things like this. However, I'm not shocked.
Ed Dudley and Florida Duval Dudley founded the Shining Light in Darkness nonprofit. They help underserved survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault.
And the resources that we provide, most important to some survivors and victims, is therapy and support groups for male and female.
Dudley tells me survivors need to see more advocates and allies.
I'm on a mission, really, though, to educate our young people. Because if we can start educating them as young as middle school what sexual assault is, what domestic violence is, maybe we can start curbing some of these incidents prior to them getting into the college campuses.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
Meantime, NC Central Police have asked anyone with information about this incident to come forward.
We want to get you caught up on the latest on the breaking news we have been following this evening in Durham. A man is dead after someone shot him in a parking lot. This is all happening on Fayetteville Street at Hillside Park. WRAL's Willie Denley is there now with the WRAL breaking news tracker. Willie, police have taped off part of that area behind you. What are you seeing?
Yes, Ashley, this crime scene has grown. The forensic unit has just arrived. They brought in this big mobile command unit behind me, all to investigate this shooting that has left a man dead this evening. Take a look at this video that I captured a short time after I arrived here, and you can see just how large of a scene it is here. And also, they have those cones that are on the ground that are marking the shell casings that were found here. The Durham Police Department tells me they arrived here around 3:44, and they found an adult male suffering from a gunshot wound. He was transported to an area hospital where he ultimately died from his injuries. As of now, they do not have anyone in custody in connection to the shooting, and the family of that young man that was killed here have arrived here on the scene over the past few hours, obviously very emotional about this. We're going to continue to follow this story and keep you updated with the information that we find out. Back to you, Ashley.
Such a tough evening for that family. Okay, thank you, Willie. Let's send it over now to Chris Lovingood in the WRAL Live Center with an update on another breaking story we're following. Chris?
Ashley, I want our viewers to point their attention to the screen here behind me. This is some of the first images we're seeing from what we're being told was someone who was hit by a vehicle, a 13-year-old pedestrian walking across the street with two of his friends who told us they were just trying to get snacks from the gas station crossing the road. This is on Jones Franklin Road at Athens Drive in Southwest Raleigh. That's when that person hit that 13-year-old. Now, the black car that you see right there is a Nissan. It's unclear if that's the vehicle involved. We're still trying to work to confirm. confirmed that through investigators. But we do know that the boy that was hit was there crying, but we're expecting for that person to at least be okay. Again, the person is at least alive at last check. We're still working to get more information from Raleigh police to confirm just exactly how this happened. But again, 13-year-old hit by a car.
Very scary for everybody. Chris, thank you. Police are investigating a string of overnight break-ins in Raleigh as potentially being connected to others that happened in Knightdale. The most recent break-ins happened overnight on New Bern Avenue. Three businesses broken into there, as you see in the video. A fourth is reported as an attempted robbery. This is video, surveillance video obtained by WRAL from inside one of those businesses, showing two people in dark hoodies stealing the cash register, hopping over the counter there. At a nearby Wingstop, security video shows the same suspects breaking in the front door and also taking the cash register.
We're seeing a lot more of this, and again, people much more brazen than they have been in the past. It just makes it more difficult to stay in business for retailers.
Investigators are working to confirm officially if the crimes are related.
Raleigh police are taking longer to respond to the most serious incidents downtown. Take a look at these numbers. In 2020, when things were quiet because of the pandemic, the average response time was under 5 minutes. You see 450 here. In 2021 and 2022, it was right around 5.5 minutes. So far this year, it's nearly 7 minutes. Take a look at this number here. So far this year, 6 minutes and 40 seconds. RPD plans to reverse this trend by stepping up patrols in hotspots for crime. Business owners told WRAL's Matt Tallhelm they hope the renewed focus on safety brings more customers downtown.
This century-old corner storefront made quite an impression on Ryan Dart.
We wanted something that reflected the genuine, the handcrafted feel and look of what we make.
He's co-founder of Decree Company, which presses and punches its designs into custom stationery for clients. The shop is a week away from marking a year in this location across from Moore Square.
Right now, the downtown area is quite quiet.
Dart says that slowdown started after several reports of violent crimes in and around the block his business shares with the downtown transit center. Raleigh police responded by stepping up patrols here over the last 2 weeks.
There's been some change, and change in the right direction, and we want people of all of Raleigh to know that, you know, downtown Raleigh is great.
Restoring that sense of safety in a couple of key spots is really critical to making sure that we continue to succeed.
Downtown Raleigh Alliance President Bill King says the solution will come in all sizes, from simple things like better lighting to adding private security at the transit station. The Alliance is also working to create a network of public and private security cameras that would give police extra eyes and ears on the streets.
We absolutely have to address this issue because it's not sustainable for businesses.
I definitely am worried about our neighbors leaving if this doesn't get better.
Matt Coleman lives downtown and opened a bar, the Davy, 5 years ago.
I believe a lot of owners have struggled with talking so much about the safety concerns in downtown, as it's a delicate balance for the perception of what downtown is.
He decided to voice his concerns to a city council committee on public safety.
I think that yesterday's meeting was a great step towards securing our community back.
Coleman hopes customers feel that sense of safety when they see more police patrolling the downtown streets.
Since that focus has been back on our area, we have noticed a decrease in crime, and we're hoping that business does come back.
The Downtown Raleigh Alliance plans to start meeting with business owners and people who live down here next month to hear their concerns and solutions for the safety issue. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And a donation from the Raleigh Police Foundation is helping pay for that new security camera network you heard Matt talk about. Businesses will be able to opt in to allow police to access their cameras. It should be up and running later this fall.
Ashley, I want to bring our viewers back into the WRAL Live Center for some breaking news within the last hour. So this video right here is actually from September 13th in Hillsboro. But we have learned that today a 17-year-old was arrested in that shooting that happened there in Hillsboro. It happened on West Orange Street. A 20-year-old man, Kylie Park, was the person who was killed. We also know an 18-year-old woman was shot and at last check was still alive. Now, police managed to find both of them that evening and they were both shot. And again, a 17-year-old was arrested today in this shooting. I want to bring up some of the charges that 17-year-old is facing. First-degree murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, felony conspiracy, and assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. In addition to Hillsboro police investigating this case, we also know the State Bureau of Investigation has stepped in to lend their assistance with this as well.
Chris, okay, thank you for that update. Our state has plans to do more to fight climate problems. A team of 24 people will work on projects from the mountains to the coast. Just ahead, when the work begins and how you can get involved.
Plus, we go in depth on a little detail in that massive state budget that passed, how lawmakers plan to shut the door on sharing public records. Mike?
Dan, we've had a dreary, cool afternoon, and it's progressing into a dreary, cool evening. Here's a look at downtown Clayton. You see the overcast, breezy, also more drizzles starting to pop up on the live dual Doppler 5000 radar. I'll highlight that coming up.
All right, I'm Dan Haggerty. Let's take a moment and go in depth, where I would like to discuss for just a moment the elephant in the room. Now, you probably think I'm talking about Babar, the jolly pachyderm who goes on adventures in children's books with pleasant excerpts like this one. His mother loves him very much. She rocks him to sleep with her trunk while singing softly to him. But no, unfortunately, no. Tonight, we're talking about a different elephant, the North Carolina Republicans, who also helped write something, a 625-page state budget with excerpts like this. Notwithstanding any other provision of this section or order, rules or regulations promulgated or adopted thereunder, you get the point. It's not as pleasant as the story about the little Babar becoming the king of the elephants, but there are some similar threads, like acquiring power. Let's go in depth. So here's the deal. When the Republican-controlled NC legislature passed the new budget, our NC Capitol team put it this way. Look at the headline there. Taxes, guns, schools, birth, and death. State budget touches on all aspects of North Carolina life. There's a lot to talk about in there, but tonight I want to focus on one page, 531, section 27.9, subsection A, records archiving. You see, the public has access to certain government records. You, me, everybody else. The media uses that access all of the time to break stories of corruption or misuse of power or some political scandal. There's a perfect example of this happening right now when WRAL investigations uncovered details about these two children and their deaths in the care of Nash County DSS. Public record laws gave us access to details that have led to a state takeover of that agency. And just this week, the demotion of their department head. To say that record laws are an important part of transparency would really be an understatement, which brings me back to Section 27.9, which makes lawmakers in Raleigh entirely exempt from them, which sounds kind of like a big deal, doesn't it? That was added last minute to a giant bill with no debate or public input. And it gives lawmakers total control to decide which documents are public and which can be destroyed right there on the spot, no questions asked. Now, it's worth mentioning, this isn't a change for everyone. I mean, the rest of the state still has public record laws. The city councils, the school boards, the universities, the government agencies, so on and so forth. Everybody, except lawmakers in the state house.
What they seem to be saying here is we think it's important that they be available on a widespread basis for most levels of government, but we don't want you to have a look at our records.
That guy there is Hugh Stevens. He's a First Amendment lawyer, and he cleared up some misconceptions that I had for me. You see, I figured with a change like this, this would certainly be challenged in court, but he pointed me to our state's constitution, which, unlike some other states, doesn't actually protect public record laws, leaving this entirely in the hands of lawmakers and out of the courts.
This is a branch of government whose records now appear to be effectively closed to any kind of public scrutiny.
Now, we should mention this. Lawmakers already had plenty of ways to do business in private. I mean, we don't bug their offices. We don't tap their phone calls and listen in. They also have caucuses, which are basically a formal meeting disguised as an informal meeting. Like a recent example, a good one, when Rocky Mountain Nash County leaders had all these closed-door meetings, and they agreed that these possible casino plans would be secret for months, even signing NDAs. We didn't know anything about it. It was closed door. So already our lawmakers operate with a great deal of trust from us. But this records law was our last peek behind the curtain. It's effectively been transformed into a wall.
a lot of people may not be paying attention, but after all, whether it's corrupt or not, or whether it's just bad policy or not, bad things happen in the dark.
And here we go, headed into the pitch black. Now, we asked about this new law, and House Speaker Tim Moore basically said the reason was sometimes they get these enormous requests that can be a ton of work, and it bogs down government, and it costs taxpayers money.
Providing anything that is of interest whatsoever to the public. And so whenever you have those kind of situations where entities or individuals are weaponizing or using the public records request to simply add to the expense and just as a burden, that's an abuse of the process.
So we should trust them to determine what we should see and what we shouldn't. And you may trust our leaders, which is fine. But keep in mind, we don't make rules and laws for the best of us. We have rules and laws to protect us from the worst of us. Let me know what you think. Email me at dan@wral.com on this topic or any other. If you want to share Babar stories with me, I'm there for that as well. Tell me what's on your mind, and we will go in depth.
This is so interesting, Dan, because this is happening across and has been happening across so many states, so many different types of governments, lawmakers trying to thwart access to their records. But I do have a comment for what we just heard from Mr. Moore. I have paid for those records requests, so it can be passed down to the consumer who is looking for those. There are just so many questions on this one.
It's a cumbersome job, but so is ours, so we'll keep asking those questions.
Yeah. All right. North Carolina is launching a climate action corps to work on projects to prevent climate-related disasters. 25 people will be stationed across the state. They'll work on community gardens and planting trees to address what's known as urban heat islands. This refers to areas with lots of buildings and pavement that often retain heat. At the coast, they will work on storm surge protection. Volunteer NC will run the program through AmeriCorps partners focused on conservation.
This collaboration is to have specific roles for our 25 members that are going to be part of the Climate Action Corps out in the communities across our great state to do specific work with climate resilience and mitigation strategies and supporting towns and cities.
Applications are open. Work should start next month. Time now for a check on our forecast with meteorologist Mike Mays. Mike, we're talking about the beach and the mountains. What's the weather going to be like this week?
We look for increasing sunshine as we head into the weekend, Ashley, but we didn't see any of that today. In fact, it was clouds and drizzle, and the drizzle still showing up in the live dual Doppler 5000 radar. All this light blue you see traveling down to the south and west is drizzle. So over western Wake County right now, Cary, Apex, Morrisville, getting over toward Jordan Lake, even southern Durham County, Durham itself seeing a little bit of drizzle, perhaps Johnston County as well, Harnett County, all again sliding down to the south and west, and we'll watch for pockets of drizzle throughout the night. 64 right now. We had 68 for the high, a cool gray fall day. The dew point in the 50s. I said yesterday it's likely the air would dry out just a tad. Dew points dropping down into the 50s, allowing it to feel a little cooler than it did yesterday. 64 again out at RDU, 67 Fayetteville after your high of 70, 59 at Roxborough, 62 at South Hill. We're going to keep the overcast all night with pockets of drizzle, and temperatures by daybreak should be in the 50s and 60s. And what we've got going on in the lower levels of the atmosphere, we have a flow coming in from the northeast. Aloft, we have a southwest wind tending to develop that overcast. Now, signs are that flow will slow down somewhat tomorrow. Some models suggest it'll be overcast all day. The newest run of Futurecast is now suggesting that, so I may have to trim back the temperature tomorrow. But by Friday, we start to see it break out, and over the weekend, perhaps partly to mostly sunny skies, temperatures on the way up. So your evening planner, sunset at 7:05. It's getting dark out there right now. 64, 63 at 9 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, 62. If you're going for a dog walk this evening or maybe just getting your steps in, watch out for that little bit of drizzle that's out there. Futurecast at 7 o'clock showing temperatures in the 60s, and it stays that way through midnight, although there'll be mid and upper 50s in the northern counties. Here in Raleigh by midnight, 61, 63 in Fayetteville. We start our day tomorrow with an overcast, a chance for some drizzle, maybe some spotty light rain. By 6 a.m., future cast suggests 59, 60 at Rocky Mount, 55 at Roxborough. By lunchtime tomorrow, now the model, different, showing just an overcast for lunchtime and mostly cloudy skies tomorrow afternoon. The end result could be a little cooler than what I suggested throughout the afternoon. 72 in Raleigh by 4 o'clock, 74 Fayetteville, 66 in Roxborough. Maybe some breaking up of the clouds as we head into tomorrow evening. So our forecast overnight, pockets of drizzle, lows will be in the 50s to about 60 in Fayetteville. If you're going to be out and about and you feel a little chilled, a light jacket would come in handy in the morning as well. But later in the afternoon, our highs in the 70s with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Now, Football Friday looking pretty good. We should have mostly sunny skies at the start of the games, mainly clear sky during the games with temperatures falling into the 60s. And then Notre Dame comes to town and takes on Duke on Saturday. The weather looking pretty good at that for kickoffs, or at least at 6 o'clock, 74. Kickoff is at 7:30, 69 at 8. By 10 o'clock, about 64. So no worries about getting wet this weekend. Won't have a repeat of last weekend. Upper 70s Saturday and Sunday. Warmer weather coming, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. High temperatures likely to be in the mid-80s. There are signs that the humidity may drop Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so those 80s may not feel all that bad.
It feels like fall, though. Thank you,
yes,
Mike.
Yes, it does.
It's a big night for a group of service members from our area.
Up next, we hear from the 82nd Airborne Division Chorus before they receive the final results. Tonight's the night for the 82nd Airborne Division Chorus.
America decides if they're the winners of AGT. Earlier today, we heard live from members of the chorus about the upcoming results.
It's out of our hands. It's up to America, and hopefully they loved watching the performance as much as we loved performing. I had a blast last night, but my adrenaline was still kicking, and knowing that, you know, was it good enough for America? Did they enjoy it, and did they understand our message? That was just running through my head all night.
Well, the wait to find out the answer to her question nearly almost over here. Part two of the finale starts in about an hour and a half, at 9 o'clock. And you can see it right here on WRAL. We wish them luck.
Yes, oh my gosh. Good luck. Everybody's rooting for you. And hey, no matter what happens, it has been such a cool journey for them.
Absolutely. But it would be nice to bring home that $1 million.
Sure would.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.